Y'all find a place. Wow, it's so good to see each of you here tonight. And you've been so attentive to what Brother Dave has had to share. We've been talking about how to keep from what? Someone tell me? From falling. It's not fun to fall, is it? Usually, when you fall, you get hurt. But one thing we also know is that when we fall, God is there and He's able to pick us up. Isn't that nice? He's able to put us back together again. You can't put an egg back together again, but God can, right? Told you I have a sad picture. Every time I show this picture, it affects me. I want you to see it. What do you see on that picture? Yes. With chains. Would you like to walk with chains?
No.
You wouldn't. I want to ask you a question. Do those people look happy?
No.
They look pretty sad, don't they? You know, it's a sad thing to be chained up. But there's something else that's very sad. Who's holding the chain? You have any idea?
The devil.
The devil. That's right. The devil. The verse that this comes from is, "Beware lest anyone spoil you." Now, we talk about children being spoiled sometime, but we're really talking about you need to be careful that you walk in Christ. You need to be careful that you're rooted in Christ. You have to be careful that you're built up in Christ. And you have to be careful that Satan does not lead you down the wrong road. Where do you think he wants to take those people to? Where does he want to take them to? What do you think? Up here someone has. Where does he want to take them to? Where's the bad place? What do you think?
Hell.
Yeah, he wants to take them to hell. And none of us want to go to hell, do we? No, we don't. So, God wants to keep you from falling, but sometimes we do fall. I've got one more picture to show you. What do you notice about Humpty Dumpty this time? He's what? You don't think he'll fall? What else do you notice? He's broken. Huh? What happens when you get cut? What do you get? Well, there's blood. A scar. You know, the Bible says that we can be put back together again and there's forgiveness. But sometimes when we fall and we've hurt ourselves, guess what? We carry the scar for life. Brother Dave has a scar right there. I was climbing a fence to get a ball and I slipped. And the wires on the top of the fence stuck up like that. There was no rail on the top, and when I slipped, my arm caught that and just tore it open. And I had to have 8 stitches. Have you ever had stitches?
No.
Probably don't want them. Do you have stitches? Yeah. You had some stitches. Well, then we often have a scar that's there. And my encouragement and hope for each of you is that you will live in such a way that you will not fall, but if you fall, to learn from your fall and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these children. Bless them as they learn and grow. Keep them from falling. Lord, I pray that when they fall, they would come to you. Pray that you would protect them from evil and keep them safe for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your parents. Such a blessing again to be able to come together in the house of the Lord to worship, to hear God speak to our hearts. I have to admit to you, I came tonight with a rather heavy heart, and it's still with me. I don't know what all God wants to do in our hearts tonight, but I'm praying that His Holy Spirit can walk in my heart, that God can help me share the burden that's on my heart this evening in a way that can be understood and that can challenge each of us tonight in our walk with the Lord. Let's bow our heads and sing just a verse of that song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the
Father, we commit this time to you tonight. Pray that you would speak to our hearts and strengthen and encourage us and also challenge us with the importance of our destiny, the importance of our decisions, the importance of our walk. Would you minister to every heart as you see best? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On April the 12th, 1912, the largest vessel of its day left England for New York City. It was an extraordinary vessel. It was a vessel designed for glory and honor. It was a vessel thought to be unsinkable. It was a vessel that was sent off with great celebration and high expectations. But this same vessel, with 2,200 passengers on board, met a watery grave 2.5 hours later after hitting an iceberg in the Atlantic Ocean. Can you imagine with me this evening the shock, the disbelief, the grief at the cruel turn of events? The unthinkable had actually happened. The unsinkable actually sank. And all of us here this evening, and particularly young people, I would like to remind us that we are, you are, that vessel designed by your Creator in His foreknowledge to be a vessel of beauty, a vessel of honor, a vessel of great price. In many cases, not always, but in many cases, prepared and furnished by your parents with navigational tools, and certainly with a crowd of well-wishers and friends wanting you to succeed. But the reality is that shipwreck can happen so quickly. I'd like you to take your Bibles and go with me to Acts 27 for a text, verse 41, for the message this evening. Acts 27, verse 41, we read these words. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. The forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. It's not real difficult to get the picture as you think of this verse. We could say it was between a rock and a hard place, battered by a sea that slams you from both directions, or knocked around by the storms of life. You ever been there? Thank you. I would suggest this evening that capsizing or shipwreck is not something that young people set out to do in life. Most people do not start out life to see how messed up they can make their lives. In fact, I would say most people don't want to experience shipwreck or to capsize their vessel. Most people do not anticipate their lives being broken by the violence of the waves. Most people never intend to get caught between two opposing seas. And even in this account, we'll go back and read a little bit later. Even in this account here in Acts, this journey started off with the wind blowing softly. The few warnings of danger seemed legalistic and restrictive. Sailing was exciting and fun, and any thought of shipwreck was pushed off as very unlikely to happen. By the way, Walter Wilson has this definition of a high school senior, 17, 18 years of age. He says this: a senior is someone who knows everything there is to know, and they know that they know it. Much like when I was 17 and I had been doing construction work for one whole year, and in that year I became an expert carpenter. My dad didn't know anything about building a house, though we were building one. That was my viewpoint. Remember the day we were out in the front of the house and we were chalking the line for the soffit. My dad was on a ladder on one end, I was on the other end. And it had to be a straight line. My perfectionist tendencies. And I remember pulling the line tight, and then I pulled it even tighter. And in doing that, the chalk line broke. Never forgot my dad's response. He kind of stepped off the ladder, walked into the house, and left me to my devices. Just an illustration of how smart we young people are.
in our knowledge and understanding of life. Well, maybe how unsmart we are in our understanding of life. You may be thinking this evening, Brother Dave, I've got things under control. I've got big plans and dreams for my life. South wind is blowing softly around here. I'm going to sit back and enjoy the ride. I'm only young once, and I'm going to enjoy it. But as the wise old man once said, you'd better remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Boy, I like that verse. So much, isn't that? While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Several more observations from this passage. Well, First observation is this. Sailing can be a wonderful and exciting experience. I don't know that. Ellie wants me to know that. She's got this thing in her head that she wants to go sailing with me. Now, when I look at sailboats with the sail up, there's something within me that says that boat's going to turn over. Because I see, it just seems like, now I know they have something long underneath that's to keep it upright. But let me just tell you that I'm not real excited about going sailing, but maybe someday we'll go just to please my wife. But I would say it probably can be an exciting and a wonderful experience if the waters are calm, if the wind is blowing softly, if the sun is shining, and the conditions are favorable. So I think we could say sailing can be a wonderful experience. But the second thing we must say on the heels of that is this. Sailing can be dangerous and a destructive experience. And for that reason, hence, there is the need for some discernment. Hence, there is the need for counsel and admonition. And in the story that's before us tonight, that counsel and admonition was there. Paul said this, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. For you young people listening to my voice this evening, listen carefully. You know what? God has provided parents, hopefully to most of you, maybe not all of you, to come alongside of you and to encourage you and to give you admonition, to give you warnings. God has provided pastors, someone who's an experienced sailor. God has provided teachers, someone who is able to lay their hand on your shoulder to warn and encourage you. I'm saying to us tonight, for every one of us, sailing can be an exciting thing, but it can also be a dangerous thing. And then, thirdly, young people tonight, sailing safely can only happen as you pay attention to the admonition, to the warning signs. I remember being up in Canada, I call it Schrock Lake. This just really affected me. I went with Wayne Schrock to Schrock Lake. Caught my biggest northern pike of all the years I was in Canada at Schrock Lake, of all places. But the thing I remember, we were going through this passageway of water. And there was this rule that had to be followed. Left of green, right of red. I forget if it was left of right or left of red, right of green. These markers in the channel, you had to be on the one side of the one, on the other side of the other one, and you had to follow that. Otherwise, there was the possibility of disaster. Something about that that just stood to me. You know, it was so secure. I'm not the most secure on the water, but, as long as we stay, As long as we stay at the right place, we're going to be all right. This is not a prohibition against sailing. That's what ships are made for. But it is a recognition that often in our youth, we have the tendency to disregard the warning signs. We can come up with all kinds of rationalizations and excuses not to get along with the journey. I'd like you to go back to verse 9. Let's read this. This is very, very interesting to me. It is so contemporary. I think you'll catch the connections. Verse 9, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and he said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete." Now there's three words. I'll tell you, I think of these words. So critical. "But not long after." I'll tell you, the "not long after" comes much quicker than most of us want it to. "But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, and undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away." Let me just point out some of the excuses, some of the rationalizations, some of the reasons why they felt they should go or they felt they should sail. And I find these reasons to be very contemporary to our experience today. The first one was very simple. The haven wasn't commodious. The haven or the place they were at was not a place that was commodious or inviting. Not the most popular resort town. And oftentimes as young people, we struggle with the restrictions or we struggle with the outdated methods and standards of sailing. There's a resistance to the tried and tested standards of sailing. And many of us can feel this way. My present situation is just not ideal. So why should I continue in this present situation? And I'm not suggesting tonight that all of the situations that we find ourselves as people are our ideal. In fact, I would hasten to tell all of us that most times the situations in life that we find ourselves are not ideal. You're looking for the perfect situation, the perfect church, the perfect setting, the perfect family. You're not going to find that. But just because the haven was not commodious does not mean that you should set sail. The second thing I see here, the more part advised to sail. Not only was the haven not commodious, but everyone was saying, you need to go. You need to go. Be careful of the kind of advice you listen to. Just because most people say to sail doesn't necessarily mean that that's the right thing to do. Many times the most people can be wrong and the few people may be right. And so we struggle with peer pressure, the struggle to stand alone, the struggle with what others will think and say of us, or the struggle to compromise our own personal convictions. I find this so contemporary. The haven was not commodious, not a good place to be. So why don't we sail? Secondly, everyone's saying, go for it. And so it must be the right thing. And then the third thing was that circumstances seem favorable for sailing. And I would say here that most of us struggle with the long view. Blue sky. Let's go. And most of us do not pay much attention at all to the 5-day forecast, to the 10-day forecast, and young people, hear me well, to the 20-year forecast. You know, young people, I just want to say something to us tonight. You know, in our youth, we're setting the patterns for our life that are going to be with us and will affect not only us, but will affect future generations. I like to tell young people this. Think about the day when God will call you to be a mommy and a daddy, and you will have children that you love very deeply and want to see them do what's right. You know what? You're setting patterns today that will make a difference for your children and your grandchildren. Look at the long-term forecast. Okay, it's nice today. Let's get on with the show. But what about tomorrow? What about 5 years from now? Where will you be? What about 10 years from now? So we read, not long after, the ship got caught. It could not bear up into the wind. The ship was driven out of control. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears to try to correct things. There was fear of quicksand. And finally, our text, and falling between two seas, being battered from both sides. The application is this. There are many things that will seek to catch you. It may appear harmless at first, but suddenly you are caught in its clutches. The wind which was blowing softly has now become a tempest. Temptations which seemed appealing and inviting and fulfilling now drive you, now control you. You find yourself caught between two seas. Paul says it this way. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this horrible place? I've often pondered the pressures that young people face. Young people, I want you to know tonight, my heart's with you. I love young people. I have a question I want to ask the Lord when I get to heaven. Just kind of curious. God, why do you pack so much? And I know God does all things well. Why do you pack so much in such a short period of time that has such long-term implications in one's life? You're trying to find out who you are. You're becoming an adult. You're making major decisions about what you want to do in life. You're choosing a life companion. And then you're facing the tremendous struggle of the temptations that are very much a part of youth. Is it possible to sail safely? What do you think? Maybe you're sitting here tonight and say, well, I don't know, Brother Dave. Looks pretty impossible to me. If you were in my shoes, might be a different story. There are three sets, in closing, three sets of opposing seas that I would have you consider, young people, this evening. This is not just for young people, by the way. We all face these things. The first one is this. Obedience versus rebellion. And I'm using it as opposing seas, contrasting seas. Now, the only case in this, it's not quite a direct analogy, because if you obey, the seas are going to get quiet. But if you disobey, the seas are going to get pretty tempestuous. The question here is surrender versus control. And it's really rather simple to talk about, but it's quite difficult to put into practice in one's life. Will I choose to obey, or will I choose to have my own way? You know, the sea of independence looks so appealing to young people. Man, just think of it. Freedom. Freedom from mom and dad. I won't ask you to raise your hands. Man, I just get so tired of what they try to tell me to do. I just wish I could get away from it all. Doesn't make any sense. And they keep harping at me. I just wish I didn't have to put up with this. Freedom to do as I please. Freedom from the guidelines and restrictions of family and church. Freedom to be my own boss. I often tell young people, don't throw your mom and dad away. You may need them someday. And they're not perfect. And they do make mistakes. But that is no excuse for not obeying. And it's no excuse for taking your own way. God still holds us responsible for our choices. So young people, I would encourage you to sail carefully through this set of turbulent rapids. Many a young person's canoe has capsized in these rapids, with the result being shipwreck, broken relationships, barriers in communication, emotional and spiritual distance. The attitude that says, I will have my own way, even if it kills me, often does just that. It certainly alienates from mom and dad, and alienates one from the church, and alienates one from God. Be careful about the sea of obedience versus rebellion. Let me encourage you. You want your children to obey you someday? Maybe you could start by obeying mom and dad today. I believe God honors that. The second sea is the sea of purity versus sensuality. Samson said, get her for me, for she pleases me well. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Our culture has opened the floodgates to that which brings defilement. And Paul warned Timothy, he said, flee youthful lust. In other words, steer your vessel clear of the icebergs and the rocks, which have taken many of a big ship or a good ship down. We all know it can be alcohol or drugs. It can be pornography. It can be videos or movies. It can be music. It can be sports. It can be sensual reading material, TV or internet. Pleasure without responsibility. Indulgence without consequences. And we live in a day where, to remain pure, a young person needs to set boundaries in their hearts. The power of not doing that, of the undercurrent, the riptides, has taken many a young person to a watery, watery grave. Wise is the young person who, like David in Psalms 101, refuses to set anything wicked before his eyes. Wise is the young people who refuses to feed on that which brings defilement to his mind and to his heart. Wise is the young person who guards and guides his friendships carefully. He who lies down with the dogs will rise up with the fleas. I think of an illustration of a young man from our congregation whose father bought him a car at 16. This young man, in looking through this old car, found a pornographic magazine. His first impulse was, you know what? I'll hide this thing, and then later I'll indulge. So he took the magazine and hid it because he didn't want anyone to see him. Later, as he was contemplating what to do, he heard the voice of God speaking to him these words. You know what? You don't have to do this. You could get rid of this. Here's his testimony. He took that magazine and got rid of it. And he's told me this. He said over and over again, when temptation comes to him, he thinks back to that event. And he says, you know what? I did it once. I can do it twice. Amen. I like that. We talked the other evening about the choices that we make that are so important. Just a personal struggle. I shared some, but for a while I was working for a contractor where I would do callbacks to all the work that we did, and I'd go into these homes. And some of these homes I'd go into, the TV was on. And it was a temptation. And this thing was such a struggle to me. I remember one day coming to this, thinking about this, and I said, you know what? I can't go through the rest of my life struggling with this kind of an issue. And that day, I made a decision that I would not turn on the TV again. I want to tell you something. God has honored that. Yeah, just the other week, I went to Indiana for meetings, and I was in a motel all by myself. But there was not a temptation to turn on the TV or to indulge in that which I knew was evil and would destroy my life. See, it's not that I don't trust people or young people, but I don't trust the flesh. I don't trust the flesh for any one of us, whatever age we are. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Every one of us are capable of falling if we do not set boundaries in our life. The last one is the sea of conviction or compromise. Remember the children of Israel? I like this. They said, we need a king. We got to have a king. Why did they have to have a king? They had never had a king before. But they had to have a king. And you know why they had to have a king? It was so that we may be like the other nations. That's why they wanted a king. So often the motivation or catalyst for compromise are small steps in the wrong direction. Everyone else is doing it. Are they? And another question, is everyone else right? Let me suggest something. Would you observe their lives carefully? Which direction are their decisions taking them? Closer to God? Closer to church? Closer to family? What is their relationship like with their authorities? Are they genuinely happy? What is the fruit of their lives? Now, I would just say we need young people today of conviction, willing to stand for what is right. If you would be faithful to God, if you would retain your integrity, if you would avoid falling away, if you would avoid shipwreck, then you must make some decisions on where you will stand. Joseph said, how can I do this sin against God? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to the image. I don't mean to communicate to you young people tonight that the journey is easy. But I want to say to you that I believe God is faithful and provides the strength and the grace to be able to walk and be able to live life in a way that we can experience His blessing on our lives. Think of a friend of mine who told me, he said one night, his daughter had said, Dad, I'm going to town with friends. And he really did not want her to go to town. He and his wife were going to go away for the evening. So he communicated to his daughter. He said, you know what? I really don't want you to go. But he said, when I walked out the door that night, he said, I didn't know what my daughter's decision would be. But he said, when I came back home that night, and he said, I walked into my bedroom. In the middle of my bed was a note from my daughter. She said, Dad, thanks for being strong enough to stand against my own will and desires. He said, that's a note that he kept. There are so many ways, young people, that you can destroy your life and capsize your ship. I would ask us tonight, how about it? Where do we find ourselves? Are we caught between two seas? Is your vessel being battered and broken by the waves? are the waves of rebellion, sensuality, and compromise battering your ship? Are you a vessel of honor tonight? As I thought about the invitation tonight, after we have prayer, I would like to give an invitation, and I really would like to make it a public invitation where, if God is speaking to your heart, you would come forward. And I would just suggest that if there are those who come forward, that there be those who would come alongside, Christian brother or sister, to encourage, to stand with them. And then, after we conclude the service, to be able to take time to deal with each situation individually. I just believe God is speaking to hearts tonight. And I just pray that we will be open to His Spirit. Let's take time to pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the tremendous blessing of walking with You. Lord, thank You for the warnings, the admonitions that You give to us. Father, I'm not sure what Your desire is here tonight, but I do know this. You want every person to come to a place of commitment and repentance. Lord, should there be anyone here tonight that's struggling with surrender? Maybe they've never committed their life to You. Or maybe they have committed their life to You, but they're struggling with the turmoil of being battered by the sea. Lord, I pray that tonight they could make a decision to follow You, to submit their hearts and their lives to You, first of all, and to their authorities over them. Father, to not allow their lives to be destroyed by sensuality and impurity, and that they would not compromise their convictions. Lord, You know Your purpose, and we just commit ourselves to You, that You would lead us and guide us through this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to give an invitation. I would just say, if God is speaking to your heart tonight, God is the God with the outstretched arms. He's the God who continually invites us to come to Him. And He fills our life with joy and peace as we choose to surrender our hearts to Him. And I don't know what God's saying to this congregation tonight. It may not even be young people. It may be older people that God is speaking to. But I'm just simply opening it up for anyone here that knows in their heart that you're not where God wants you to be, and that God is calling you tonight. I would encourage you to respond to that as we sing. I'm wondering if we couldn't sing Wonderful Story of Love again. I was affected by that second verse, calling from Calvary's mountain. What number was that?
281.
As we sing together tonight, I just pray that you'll be sensitive to the voice of God as He speaks to your heart and respond to Him.
Story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, break the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, how long to believe it? Wonderful story of love. Crystal white fountain.
affected me tonight. Jesus provides a rest. My. You can't go anywhere else. You're never going to find it in yourself. You'll never find it in the circumstances of life. You only find rest in Jesus Christ. And I want to say something about that. No matter what your circumstance, at home or wherever, Jesus is enough for you. He will guide you through. Think of a lady from our church. She told me this. She says, as a 12-year-old girl, her dad was a preacher. She said, I couldn't reconcile what he said on Sunday morning and the way we lived the rest of the week. But she said, I had a Sunday school teacher who told me God's word is true and God's word will guide you right. And that's what she's hung on to all these years. And she would say, that is true. Jesus is enough for all of us tonight. Third verse.
Jesus provides a rest. Wonderful story of love for all the pure.
Speaking to hearts tonight, I hesitate to close. Let's start at the first verse again and just think of the words as we think about the love that God has for each one of us.
Story of love, telling to me again. Wonderful story of love, with the immortal strength. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it, Sarah, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love.
We'll sing one more verse. If God is speaking to your heart, don't wait. Today is the day of salvation. You don't know how important those decisions are to give our lives to Jesus Christ. What a difference it can make in every day. Even you may feel too far away tonight. The invitation is for you. Wonderful story of love,
though you are far away. Wonderful story of love. Story of love.
Is there anyone else that God is speaking to your heart tonight and you know He's laid His hand on you? You have the opportunity to respond. Just encourage you to come forward. Just like to remind all of us this evening that God is faithful. God cares. God cares about your life personally. He cares about your family. He cares about this congregation. And though the way is hard and very difficult, hang in there. Make straight paths for your feet. Encourage each other. Stand beside each other. So important. We live in a difficult time for the church. And God knows that we really do need each other. I'd like to have a prayer of dedication. Let's all stand together. And then we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank You tonight for Your Holy Spirit, who is not only a convictor, but He's also such a comforter. Tonight there's a lot of comfort in our hearts as we've heard You speak and as we've said yes to You. And I want to just pray a special blessing each young person, each older person who has said yes to Your Spirit tonight. Lord, would You fill their lives with much peace and a lot of grace. Father, I don't know their situations, but for some of them, maybe they face a difficult circumstance or situation. Lord, would You give them strength and to make straight paths for their feet, even when it's hard. Lord, I pray that no root of bitterness or any resentment would spring up and trouble and defile. Lord, we just pray for this congregation. We pray that we would know how to stand beside each other, how to encourage each other, how to lift each other up in prayer. And Lord, I pray that You would bind this congregation together, that Your purpose would be accomplished in this community. We thank You in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Lord bless you. You are dismissed. And for those of you who have responded, if you want further counsel, make sure that you get that. If you want to talk to me, I would be open to any one of you. God bless you. You are dismissed.